This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I filed my return,
but I haven't.
1 in 4 taxpaying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
1 in 4 was a fraud-paying American. Not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Don't forget, we're sponsored by GunBroker.com. Get your guns.
Sorry. We're going to keep that in there. Thank you, Dan, for announcing our sponsor, GunBroker.com. You can get your turkey hunting gun at GunBroker.com. It's more than used guns. They got new guns. They got literally new everything. There's all kinds of brands selling on there. You can find your new firearm. Why are you looking at me like that?
I can barely hear you in my headset. Can you guys hear him in a second?
I can hear him, but it sounds weird. Different.
You sound
distant.
Well, maybe it's all in your head. Maybe you have
it's in all three of our heads.
Do you smell burning feathers?
No. Okay. I think it's about time for us. That poor Zoom's had its buttons pushed so many times by this point. It's long lived past its lifespan for podcasts.
Thank you, GunBroker, for sponsoring this podcast. So check them out for all your turkey hunting needs, archery, whatever you're getting ready for this year. Dan, I know you've been talking about this solar eclipse for months. When did you book your place that you're staying?
So we have been planning this trip since the last solar eclipse.
Which was when?
Which was 2015?
Sounds right.
So yeah. I don't know anything about solar eclipse. Is the totality path always the same?
No.
Okay.
So there is a solar eclipse somewhere on the planet every year.
Okay.
It's an annual event. But sometimes it's just a little squiggly over the North Pole. Sometimes it'll go across all of Europe.
So this one's covering the Midwest all the way up through
it's going through from Texas up to Maine.
Yeah.
Kind of in an arc through Chicago and then up into Maine.
And you've seen one at totality and it was life changing. You said
life changing.
What changed about your life?
Your place in the universe. Yeah. I would assume it would be like taking a city kid out into the country and they can actually see the stars, stars for the first time.
It gets that dark?
No,
but I'm saying
this is a metaphor.
If you've never seen the sky without light pollution,
that's what you're equating.
Yeah. And it kind of rewires your brain as far as what can daylight be like and what does that associate with? Kind of like, I guess, you know, if it's ever like real stormy and you go outside and it's green and your brain's like, oh, I'm used to this, it's probably a tornado.
So you had a very Buddhist experience of I didn't appreciate light until I'd seen dark in the middle of the day kind of thing?
Yes. Well, and you don't really appreciate the fragility of the planet until you're like, oh, if this was permanent, if the sun just went away, everyone would die instantly. Mm. And you just kind of take it for granted that the sun's always there.
You said
there.
It got the temperature shift was noticeable, right?
Yeah, so that the thermal rays of the sun that heats up the Earth, you know, as soon as they get blocked, and even kind of leading up to it, it can evaporate clouds. But you'll feel a cool wind, kind of like if someone was to shut an oven door, and then all of a sudden you stop feeling the heat of the sun. So you feel a cool wind kind of blow in as the shadow rolls in, and then animals think it's night. So we were actually, I don't know if you and I were talking about it, but one of us was like, what if we went turkey hunting during it? Like, would they try to roost? Like, they'd be like, oh, it's nighttime, because it's much darker than, it's not really nighttime, but it's much darker than just the sun moving behind a cloud. Because
and you can look up, mm-hmm. when like that moment comes, you can take off of your sunglasses.
Yes. For depending on how far you are into totality, mm-hmm. the moon will totally cover the sun. So you can look up and you'll see the, I think they're called corneal rays, but you can see what you usually can't see with the naked eye. I kind of describe it as like the Godsmack logo. I don't mm-hmm. know if you remember that, you 90s kids.
Yeah.
But it looks like that, like big, wispy, probably twice as big as the sun, big, wispy energy waves coming off of the sun. And birds will stop chirping. Crickets will start going off. It's super surreal. And really, as soon as the moon starts moving again, and you see, if you just see 5% of the sun's uncovered, it would be about as bright as, you know, a normal day. It goes that quick from whatever. And you can also look at the shadows on the ground, and you'll see the elliptical shape.
That's a workout machine.
He's definitely not looking for that.
But no, it's really cool. Yeah, so we've been planning it since last year. And we're going to go down to Texas, because the big thing with it is, you, depending on when it is in the year, like right now it's in April, which is stormy weather time, you need to try to find a place that has a high chance of having clear skies.
I started to say, I hope for you and Erica, who have made plans around this, that it's not, like today, I think, would not be a good day for it.
No, today would not be a good day for it. And there's nothing you can do, obviously. It's not like you can just drive 5 minutes down the road and see it.
Well, and they're saying, too, that because this is covering so much of the, like, a populated area, you're not going to be able to drive, period. There's going to be just so many people everywhere.
That, and, I mean, there are states calling up National Guard, because you've got small towns with one stoplight that are expecting to get tens of thousands of people coming into town. You know, I think we were looking at Austin, Texas, which was out. We were just going to stay in Austin, Texas, which I think was outside of the path of totality, but you could go like 20 minutes north. So literally, like, all of Austin's just going to choose some small town.
Yeah.
And it just snarls traffic immediately.
But you're staying pretty close to here, right?
A couple hours away. We ended up just going up into Indiana because we wanted to take the pup with us, and that way we didn't have to fly and whatnot. So we were rolling the dice on the weather.
Yeah.
But we're going to be out on a lake, both in our kayaks, during the event. So we should have the best view of the sky.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
And I don't think there's another one in the for 40 or 50 years in the U.S.
In the United States? Wow.
So in the entire U.S.?
I think there's one like hitting the top of Alaska in like 8 years. But as far as one like this that is, you know, sweeping across the whole country, this might be the last time in, you know, your lifespan to get an opportunity to see it. So
that's wild.
It will be cool.
Well, I hope you get to see it. So we're recording this a week before.
Yeah.
So this is coming out on the day of totality. So at like 2:00 Eastern, you guys just think about Dan holding his wife's hand out on a, you should queue up this podcast so you can like right after and see if it was as monumental as you thought it was going to be.
You are setting my expectations, because you talked me into this. There was one episode like a couple months ago where we all ragged on you about how you were such a nerd, and then we all went back and booked spots because you got us. Because
we talk it up all the time.
I think it was just you, Erica.
Yeah, I don't booked think a spot. Else did that.
Yeah, I'm still ragging on him. I have to work that day.
I talked like 15 other like families into coming with us, so we have like a huge.
Yeah, I feel like the buzz is really just picking up in the last month or two. I'm starting to see, you know, people write articles and hype it up, but it really is, as far as like free entertainment, as far as like crazy things to tell your kids that cost you very little money, especially if you're close to the path of totality, I highly recommend you just get on Google Maps, find a field, find something with an open sky, even if you're just standing in a parking lot.
Maybe get permission to stand in that field.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be a public field if there's a park. The last time we did it, we went to Carbondale, Illinois, to Garden of the Gods Park. And, you know, we were camping out. We were out in the woods. And when the eclipse happened, you couldn't see anyone. You were, like, in the middle of a state park. But when the eclipse happened, you just heard all these gasps and like, oh, out of the park from all these people that were
all these stationed. Souls being changed.
And we knew there were people there because every single parking area at this park was just overflowing with people. And it probably took us what should have been an hour drive out, probably took us 4 hours to drive out. It was just, it was like apocalyptic.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's just trying to get out as soon as the event's over. So this time we got an Airbnb. We're not traveling until the day after the eclipse. So.
I know what's going to happen for me is that the moment of totality is going to hit and like one of my kids is going to like wreck their bike or vomit or something and I'm going to have to like miss it.
You'll look down for a second.
Well, it should last 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
They can wait 2 or 3 minutes.
Just take a tourniquet and like, tie it off and you can figure it out later. Fine.
Look at the sun.
Yeah. 2 or 3 minutes. Have you gotten your glasses yet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the kids have there's like an assembly sometime this week where like the state DNR, somebody's coming in to like give them a whole explanation about what's happening and handing out free glasses.
Cool.
We got on Amazon, we got solar binoculars, and they're like 8-power binoculars, but they've got the solar filter in them, so you can look at the sun, but it's 8-power, so you're 8 times closer.
There goes that free entertainment.
If I had, if you had your 8 times regular binoculars, could you use them and just put your solar things on and use them?
Don't take that advice from Dan.
Yeah. And then if those solar things that you're trying to hold over the end fall out of the way briefly, you're instantly blind.
I don't know that I would do that, honestly. Like binoculars are designed to like increase light.
To magnify.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they would increase the filtered light. So as long as you have the filter over the front of it, it would theoretically work, but you're rolling
So you're saying put the glasses over the front of the binoculars, not where the glasses and then use the binoculars.
You've like giving yourself LASIK by accident.
Do not take any advice from this podcast.
Yeah, I don't know about doing it on I would do it in the front of the binoculars because I would imagine it would like heat up your binoculars.
What's the point of the binoculars? I can see darkness closer.
Because of all the stuff going on the sun.
The wispies. He wants to see the wispies.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right, before we do 20 more minutes of that, it's like peak fishing time right now.
Supposedly.
And I went out to my pond. I only had 45 minutes. Took the kids out. They all played. And I made a mad dash around this big pond. And I got nothing.
What'd you use?
Well, Jacob was telling me to use a crawdad crankbait.
He's been having a lot of luck on crawdad colors lately. But I wouldn't get married to that idea if it's not working.
I married to it for too long was part of the problem. But I was like, well, maybe they're not this shallow because I started on the shallow end and was working my way to the deep because I didn't know where they were. But by the time I got halfway down the pond, I'd already lost like 20 or 30 minutes. And I started switching it up and going to everything I could.
Mm-hmm.
And all I was getting, this pond's loaded with bluegill, but I couldn't get any meaningful bite.
Are you getting a lot of algae?
Yeah, there's a lot of algae in this pond.
Everywhere I'm going, I'm getting it too. And I feel like, you know, depending on what you're fishing, if you're doing a crawdad on
the... Yeah, and the retrieve is just getting muddied up every time.
You go weedless.
Yeah, but...
Even that, I mean, still...
Yeah, you'll still kind of bring in some
gunk. What's funny is Jacob tells me all this stuff, because I treat Jacob like my personal Squatch bot, and so I ask him for advice, and he tells me what to do, and then later that night, or the next day, he's like, caught 4 on this, and I'm like, none of that was in your suggestions. I didn't have time to really get, now I'm giving him a hard time, now that he can't defend himself.
Last time we went fishing, I put on a crayfish-colored crankbait, like a 3-foot diving crankbait, and caught something on the first cast with that, so I don't know if it's the color.
I switched over to one of those white and green Vexen rattle bugs that we have, and that was the first time, but I think it was bluegill. They were hitting it as soon as it hit the water, and I was like, well, it's the most action I've had, and I just kept doing that. I didn't get anything, though. But Jacob, it was funny because he sent me this XO worm that was watermelon colored, and I'm like, man, I had some of that, didn't try any of that. And he's like, caught 2, and then a few minutes later it says 4. Set me up.
I used we went camping a little bit over the past week, and I used a little shad with the red eye, like a 2-inch,
mm-hmm.
little white one. That worked a little bit.
Yeah.
But
you were, what'd you catch?
Bass.
Yeah.
Largemouth.
Have you been out?
Yeah.
What were you using?
So we went, we're trying to catch the white bass spawn this last weekend.
Yeah.
So we went and fished the salt. And the issue was we had a very, very, very strong wind all day Saturday, a west-northwest wind. So it was just ripping right up the Salt River.
And you were casting from the shore?
Casting from the shore. Debated taking my little boat, not my bass boat, although the bass boat would have worked too. But it's real shallow over there. So I was thinking about the little boat and just using the trolling motor. And I'm looking at the wind, the weather, but really the wind was what I was paying attention to the night before. And I'm like, I do not want to try to take the boat out in that wind because I don't have spot lock or anything. We talked about that a week or two ago with Jacob on the podcast. So in my opinion, like, I'll go fish on a lake, you know, in pouring rain if there's no wind over a windy day because you just get kicked all over the place. So decided just walk in, bank fish only. Had a little bit of luck, caught one. Started seeing some surface activity for sure. They're definitely starting to run the salt, but I think they still need a little warmer temperatures at night for it to really kick off.
Well, and then now it's going to get cold for days again.
Well,
is that going to throw it off again?
Maybe. And then the next 2 days also just tons of rain, which actually I think will be good because it seemed like the salt was lower than mm-hmm. usual. And we were hooking into a lot of just, you know, brush in the bottom of the salt. So I'm thinking if the water was a little higher, might be good. But yeah, did that. We were just throwing spinner, like little rooster tails, like yellow, chartreuse, white, stuff like that. And then I switched up kind of towards the end. I was like, well, I'm just going to try like some crappie tackle. So I just had like little 1/8-ounce jig heads with little plastics on them. And I was using a pink paddle tail hooked into like a 6-pound drum on an ultralight. So that was a fun little fight.
That's fun.
Yeah. But landed it. So that was fun.
Well, when I went, I had a rooster tail already on my line. I thought about it, but all that algae, it's like, I would have been just constantly, you know, it would have looked good for a few seconds and then I would have just been cleaning the pond out.
I need to buy some more racer tails after that because there's a few that are still in the salt.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah.
Lost a few. Yeah, I went out there turkey scouting. That one spot, I don't think you ever went out there with us, but right at the...
I've been there before, though.
Where the overpasses, mm-hmm. and there was probably 6 or 7 cars there, and they were all fishing the...
What day were you out?
Sunday.
Okay. We were Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And we were there.
Yeah.
So
was there a bunch of other people?
It wasn't terrible when we got there.
Yeah.
Little public service announcement. It only took us about 5 minutes to fill up a whole garbage bag full of trash. So pick up all your trash, people.
It's so bad right there.
I kind of ranted on Go Wild real quick, which I know people on Go Wild aren't people. Like, that kind of people aren't the people that are causing this problem. But, you know, you can tell people all the time not to litter, but it's not going to happen. But if everyone just went out there with a garbage bag and filled up a bag, it takes 5 minutes, probably less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We took our scouts out picking up trash the other day. We went 45 minutes and filled up 3 trash bags over at Tom Sawyer.
Yeah.
When we went camping with the kids over spring break, we got to our campsite and there were glow sticks all over the place. Like Easter, like maybe they had an Easter party or something, like old toys and stuff just like left on the ground, water bottles. I'm like, who does this? Why? My rule is like, leave it how you
leave it better.
Leave it better
honestly,
than you found
but yeah.
it.
No, we were kind of at the tail. We just stayed right there at that little last parking spot and was just picking up right around the parking lot. And this other truck pulled up and they get out and they get their cooler out and they had, you know, couple 6-packs of beer that they're putting in their cooler and dumping ice in it. And I don't know, maybe these people were great, like maybe they
cleaned up
themselves. After themselves or whatever, but it's just funny because they're all three of these dudes are just sitting there kind of staring at us walking around with this garbage bag picking up trash, kind of giving us a look of like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
so I don't know, that might be a little BHA event one day.
Yeah,
for us.
We went over to the same spot. Do you remember where we cleaned up? I think you were with us when we did that cleanup for Go Wild with, we had like a conservation week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
We went over to the same spot and it's just like a go-to because it gets so trashed. And yeah. I don't know who goes over to that park is like, I'm going to walk in the woods with my Busch Light or whatever. But
I think where we're talking, it's just a bunch of people who they're not even outdoorsy people. They just park there.
That's what I think is going on. Is it's not people that are out there actually recreating. It's not people who are hunting or fishing. I mean, I'm sure there is that occasional person that does, but I think it's just people who are just out and they know that there's this parking lot off in the woods where they can go hang out and do whatever.
Can't go home. Don't want their wife knowing they've been out drinking, so they just toss cans in the woods.
How was the Turkey Scout? Any good signs? You know,
what is sign for turkey?
Scratching.
Yeah. Turkey feathers.
Yeah.
Turkey poop.
He's asking us after he went scouting. Yeah. So what happened?
Turkeys. That's a good thing to look for.
Yeah. So most public land, most of it is overgrown. I did see, sign a deer, sign a, I saw some predator poop with fur in it. I didn't see really any sign of turkey. I went too late in the day to hear turkey calls in the morning. Really, I was just looking for, is there access? On Onyx, this looks like a big field. Is it really a big field? Going back to that place where I deer hunted in the fall, that was all corn. What does that field look like now? It was cut down.
Cut corn.
I try to think of sight lines. If I put a decoy here, how far out this way? How far out that way? And then, of course, the biggest thing with scouting is just, am I going to have to worry about other hunters here? And if I did, which way would they be walking? Mm. And where would they be trying to go? And blah, 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 blah. So
they will gobble in the evening, though.
Yeah, well, I was there from 10 to 2 midday. Yeah.
Literally the worst time to hear for gobbles.
Yeah, you got to be there last hour, 2 hours before sunset.
Now, I will say, later in the season, if you have a bird gobbling in that time frame, that's a dead turkey. That is a turkey that wants to die.
Yeah.
Well, I hope the turkeys that gobble now want to die. Because I'm going to shoot one.
I wanted to preface that when I said that was the worst time for gobbles. Because when you're hunting them, if you get a gobble, that's a really good time to get a gobble.
I sent Brad. He already rejected. I go, hey, Brad, you want to go? Because Chris and I are going to try to go out and hit this area. And Brad's like, I'm busy.
Well, I don't know how much time we're going to have. My kids' schedules, they're both playing sports this year. And then also last year I did a lot of evening hunts after work, which was awesome. For activity, but they got practices. I'm like, I just don't know how much I'm going to do, so I didn't want to commit to going scouting.
Yeah, but
I'm going to try to get my one property back, and then if I get some chances to go, I'll spur of the moment just run out. But yeah,
I sent you three spots and Chris three spots. The one spot we've hunted before and heard gobbles. Another spot was where I deer hunted and saw turkeys when I was deer hunting in the fall. I know that doesn't necessarily mean that they're still there now, but it's because I... And then the third spot is a new spot that was just, Taylorsville, up on kind of the ridge line, they have, Briar Ridge Road and then all those turnouts, and it's field and field and field and field. And all the fields are just overgrown, and I found one field. I used my little Sherlock Holmes deduction hat, and it was just everything was overgrown, and I was kind of going in the path that the tractor was in. And then there was a split. In one path was grassed over, and then the other one had fresh tire tracks in it. So I followed the fresh tire tracks, and way down in there they had done, I don't know what you call it, like a burning?
Prescribed burns. They just did those a couple weeks ago, I think, unless this was an old burn.
It still smelled like campfire.
Then, yeah, they just did it a couple weeks ago. I was talking with the biologist who coordinated all that.
Yeah, so I found one of those spots that they did prescribed burn, which to me seems like it would be a good kind of opportunity for turkey to come out. This new spot has water nearby, has good sign of wildlife in general. It's just a question of, I don't know how vocal they are about where they're, what areas they clear up and how many other people are going to try to go out to that area. And we'll see.
I just think the issue you're going to have there is it's pretty close to
the road.
Vehicle access.
Yeah. For this network of fields, it's the furthest field. So you'd have to walk past every other field.
And I just also feel like everyone is going to try to be hitting fields.
True. Most of these fields, meaning there aren't trees in them, have brush that's 3 foot tall.
Yeah.
So I think I'm hoping that most people would get out of their car, walk through the first couple fields, be like, this is not good for turkey hunting at all, and then get back in their car and go somewhere else and not walk far enough to see where the prescribed burn was. Now, I don't know how much the biologists tell all the, you know, anyone that asks what fields to go hit up or what fields they just worked on, but...
Well, if you're ever interested in knowing where all those fresh burns are, just let me know, because I can get you hooked up with the guy who does the burns, and then he said he would train us all to help them with the burns. Ooh. So if you're actually there doing the burns, then you'll know where the burns are.
They'll call me Mr. Burns.
So do you think that is a good spot for turkey hunting?
This particular spot that he's talking about, or just a burn in general?
Just a burn in general.
It could be. Depends on how recent the burn was. A lot of, like, elk hunters out west, I mean, I don't know if it's an elk thing. I think it's probably all game. But I know a lot of out west hunters where they have these natural burns that just occur. They talk about, like, those first year or two after the burn. It's always really good areas to hunt.
And this is not the whole field's burned. This is, like, the edges of the fields are burned. So, like, that's kind of a burn area. And then... Yeah. So it looks like a big field, but then on the left and the right side of the fields, it's it kind of burned back the brush from growing in.
I don't think it's a bad bet to try to play the woods, though. If you think everybody's going to try to set up on those fields, like, go deeper.
And where I saw the turkey in the fall was in the woods, in the valley.
Towards a creek? Didn't you say there's a creek back there?
Yeah.
I mean, if with everything you said... that's where I would head, and I'm a terrible turkey hunter. I've only killed four birds, but I would head back that way.
Yeah, the big thing is just having options, and then once I get out there, I'll get a better sense of what it's like, and I might try, even though I hate getting up in the morning and my body's no good at it, I might try a couple days of getting up early and going turkey hunting before coming into the office.
I think you need to be aggressive. I think that's going to be the name of the game out there.
You mean aggressive as far as the amount of time I'm sitting out there?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the only constant variable I've ever found in hunting is when I am successful, it's because I was out there.
But the turkeys, like, trying to get in close to them.
Particularly this section of public land, I think if you set up and you are stationary with decoys somewhere, calling at birds, that's one thing. But I think where you're going to be at, you get a gobble, you need to go after them.
You still have your fan, gobbler. Remember, he has one. I
would not do that.
We told him not to do it.
That's a great way to get shot out there.
I'm rolling the dice.
No, you're an idiot.
So we're going to be looking for a new e-commerce strategy.
In memoriam. Did you look for any mushrooms while you were scouting?
No, I didn't. And I was kind of briefly, loosely looking for sheds. I did see... you know, it's one of those things when an animal's not in season, you see all the sign. I did see a lot of deer sign. I saw a ton of dead deer on the side of the road, almost like rut level of dead deer on the side of the road. I don't know if you guys have noticed any.
No, I've been seeing a few.
Yeah. But
I haven't seen any deer. I mean, very few deer in places I would normally see them. I thought when we were fishing the other night, we would see some deer, although my kids were so loud that maybe they hung back, but it's always loud over there.
Did you find any sheds?
Mm-mm.
No.
Nope, I've just been finding trash.
I looked for like an hour one day this weekend.
For sheds or mushrooms? Or
mushrooms.
Both.
And I didn't see any.
I know some people that were, I mean, Daniel Boone is huge, but I know some people over the weekend that were in Daniel Boone that found a pretty good little pile of mushrooms.
Yeah.
Has it been wet and hot enough yet?
I think whatever growth they are getting, we've had some cold nights here and there, and that's been...
kind of slowing them down.
Yeah.
You need it to rain and then get hot, right?
You need it to rain and then get hot. You want your temperatures to be at or above and staying consistent at night in the 50s. And we've had a few nights
that have been
30s, 40s still.
Those are grown mostly in the valleys, right?
That's the age-old question. Yeah, I mean, no one really knows. I always have luck finding them at the base of tulip poplars, but it's got nothing really to do with, like, valleys or anything like that. I'll be interested to see out at our property, since they've done all this logging now, in the areas where I used to find mushrooms, since all that soil has been disturbed, if that's really...
good or bad.
Yeah. I know, like, in another area that they logged, we had all kinds of poke weed growing, which you supposedly can make
poke salad
and stuff. But you want to boil it, like, big time, and you want to pick it when it's smaller. But apparently that's kind of a thing with poke weed, is it only grows in areas that have been agitated. So I'd never seen the stuff out there growing up, and then they did all this logging, and now it's growing everywhere. So I wonder if the mushrooms might be the same way.
I think Harlan County has the largest celebration of the poke weed, the Poke Salad Festival.
And, no.
Yeah.
Stop. Yeah. You have to boil it for like an hour, and then after that you fry it.
Yeah.
Like you have to
It
cook.
Literally is so toxic that you have to do that.
Yeah. What does it taste like?
I don't know. I've never
had it. Yeah.
My mamaw, I think, used to make it.
Broccoli.
But yeah, I just love that my people's thing they're known for is a fried salad, boiled fried salad.
Boiled fried salad with bacon grease.
Reminds me, did you guys ever see the YouTube clips of, or maybe the show, but there was the wife swap show where they would swap the moms.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one episode, I've never seen any other one, but this is the one that's so funny. This kid named King Curtis ran the household. No. And this kid got whatever he wants. Eat chicken nuggets all the time. Like, his parents spoiled this kid to death, and he gets this new mom, and she comes in and she's throwing away all of his food, all this has sugar in it and all this. And the dad's on the camera. He's like, well, I reckon if we could find a way to fry a salad, we'd finally try one. and then the kid gets so fed up with the new mom that he's like, I'm leaving. And he packs his suitcase up and he just starts walking on the road. Like, he leaves the house going to his grandmother's. And then they do an interview with him. And he goes, she can't run in them high heels. Listen, if you have 7 minutes,
like,
the clip to look up is King Curtis. King Curtis will get you there.
Yeah.
And don't add in wife swap to that.
Yeah, search. Maybe. I think that was the name of the show, though.
I think it was. Was it wife swap?
Yeah. I think it was called wife swap.
Those were simpler times.
Yeah, and I don't remember the mom that they lost. Like, I don't remember any of those clips. It's just all the ones with King Curtis are hilarious. She's throwing out his chicken nuggies.
You remember the Extreme Makeover show, and they would
Home Edition?
No, they would give people like plastic surgery.
Oh, the People Makeover shows.
And then they'd like, you know, you felt like they were just destroying marriages, because it'd be like some, you know, busted dude, and then they like give this woman like veneers and a nose job and like dye her hair, and then she's like much more attractive, and he's just like, simpler times.
Actually, the times we're living, really, when you think about it. All right, well, that is it for us today. Again, thank you to gunbroker.com for sponsoring Uncensored and Go Wild. Make sure you check them out for your turkey hunting needs. Log this show, share it with us, tell us what you thought of the show. Hit the plus sign, Log Time Outdoor Podcast. You'll find Uncensored. All right, thanks, guys.
Bye.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.